Welcome to Becoming Your Greatest Possible Self. I am Chris Burns, America's number one motivational speaker for fiery inspiration and GPS coach for entrepreneurs and high achievers. Each episode, we interview leaders and great role models who make a massive impact in the world to help you master yourself, take courageous action, and make every day your best day ever. This interview is brought to you by Burned Up Coaching and the 21-Day Challenge. If you're an entrepreneur or a high achiever influencer, you're committed to dialing in your message, dialing in your purpose, getting clear on that long-term goal, and being able to break it down into bite-sized steps so you can succeed like never before. You're looking for that accountability daily, one-on-one accountability, and you want to break through in the next 21 days. That's exactly what the 21-Day Challenge is. Basically, we'll dial in your habits, dial in that dream and the vision, break it down into bite-sized steps so you can succeed like never before. Send me an email, chris@beyourgps.com, or find me on Facebook and let me know you're ready for your 21-day challenge. Next up is the iTunes review of the week. And this week, let's see who is supporting us, because it's absolutely supporting us when you give us a review, when you go and leave that on iTunes. Unlimited Beliefs gave us the review this week. And Unlimited says, helpful, usable content. I really like this show. The content is so helpful because it's told through the story of the guest, which is relatable. And it's easy to plug in and use, as well as inspiring along the way. Tune in. Thanks so much, Unlimited Beliefs. If you're out there in the audience, go ahead and give us a review at beyourgps.com/iTunes or search Becoming Your Greatest Possible Self on the iTunes store. Thanks so much in advance for doing that. I appreciate you. It really makes a difference. Thank you so much. Before we introduce this amazing human being, Jason, he's about to come on and just like absolutely rock your world. Such a powerhouse. Just really make sure you stay tuned throughout this entire interview, because you're going to get secrets to empower yourself in business, to empower yourself in unlocking the power of your subconscious mind, in just like really connecting with people and being successful. So make sure you stick around throughout the entire interview. You get a pen, you get a paper ready to take notes, because Jason is going to bring the fire. Let's introduce him and then we'll bring him on the screen for you all, okay? Jason Lynette. Can a hypnotist really help you grow your business? Jason Lynette has hypnotized more than 250,000 people. He's used the principles of rapport and modeling to track what top business performers and professional athletes do differently to build his own million-dollar brand. As a master of the micro niche, he speaks to groups around the world and offers hypnotic success coaching to share how people, aka you, in business can put his work smart principles and strategies to use. Rather than just hypnotize you to become more successful, he will help you de-hypnotize the misconceptions, fears, doubts, and ineffective strategies that are holding you back. Jason's process isn't magic, and the results can definitely be magical. And we're blessed to have him here with us today. Jason, are you ready to rock the house, my brother?
Let's bring on the noise and the funk.
The noise and the funk. Yes. I've never heard that one. I love it. I love it, man.
I like to keep it topical, you know.
So awesome, man. I love the iceberg right behind you, man. That's so awesome. So we were just talking about that in the last interview with Tucker. And dude, seriously, thanks for being here and just what you're doing in the world. You have an amazing, beautiful family, building a massively successful business and helping a ton of people. So really, thanks so much for contributing to our audience to help us become our greatest possible self, man.
Yeah, it's wonderful to be here. It's always that strategy that, yes, we can be there and look at what we've done and say, this is awesome and how great I am and play the game of doing one of those. Yes. Yet it's even more inspiring when other people are taking those strategies and building their own success. And even better over times, you know, over the years, here's the student of mine who goes, oh, I just did this. And I'm happy to watch and go, but how'd you do that? We're all learning from each other rather than just one person at the top of that mountain going, look how great I am. Instead, the more we're all successful, the more we're all successful.
That's the mark of a true leader, man. I really acknowledge you for having that mindset of being a student, whether you are, you know, quote unquote, ahead of someone and teaching them what you've learned, and then they get to grow and create their own finesse, their own secret sauce. And you're like, hey, you know, like, why don't we share? Why don't we support each other? And that's what I love doing with this platform, is really putting people in the spotlight so people can find out about the experts to grow with you, man, because you're doing amazing things. So let's start with the question of the day, which is, make 2019 your best year ever. How are you doing that, and how can our audience do that, man?
I'd say it's always looking at what are you currently doing now and how can you bring it to a much bigger audience. That we often get that narrow perspective, the horse with the blinders, that this is the way that I've always done it. There's a benefit that I have to this, that I come from a rather unique profession as a hypnotist. And the random piece of historical data that most of the audience doesn't need is that the word hypnosis has only been around since like 1870, 1875. Wow. We haven't been calling it that long. So I'm in a world where we can't live by the phrase of this is how we've always done it, because we're still advancing the profession, still advancing things forward. So of all inspirational sources, it's a line that actually came turn of the century back around vaudeville, where the line was, the amateur changes their act, the professional changes their audience. Ooh. So to look at what can you currently take that you're doing and bring it to a much bigger audience. And by doing so, sometimes, yes, we do have to change our act along the way of recognizing that maybe this specific market has that need and here's how I can serve that better. Or here's this other need that they have that now here's a wonderful opportunity to partner with somebody else and create something brand new. So it's where too many people fall prey to that scarcity thinking, and not from competition that someone else is out there, yet we get stuck in that model of this is the way to do it, which again, we're all changing this game with each and every day that passes.
Yeah, so it's constantly evolving, man. The speed of evolution, the speed of growing and expanding and like innovating is constantly improving. And it's like, we have to keep up with that. Otherwise, we're going to be left in the dust. And that takes, I believe, a passion. It takes an obsession to be able to be the best. And Jason, you are like at the top, man. You're doing incredible things. You've hypnotized 250,000 plus people. That's incredible, man. So tell us a little bit more about what you stand for with Work Smart Business, with your hypnosis. Tell us a little bit more about that.
You know, it's from the perspective of rather than going, what's wrong with somebody? What's their challenge? What are they going through? It comes back to that mindset, as you'd say, of that greatest possible self. Yeah. What's great about them? How do we harness that and how do we put that into use? And it's where I'm a big believer in just the premise that it comes down to assets and leveraging, which there's a quick story that comes to mind that illustrates this. This goes back about a year ago. I'm in my local office where I'm sitting now. And I had two clients that came in, and they both came in with the same backstory. Now, they didn't know each other, yet same story, yet different outcomes. They're both men in their early 60s. They're both now retired, and as they've got extra time on their hands, hey, I should probably do something and lose the weight. So in comes the 10 a.m., and the story goes that now that I'm retired, this is going to be so much easier. I can go to the gym. I can spend time cooking at home. This is the perfect scenario to do this. Around the day, here comes the next appointment. Now that I'm retired, this is going to be impossible. I'm going to want to sit around the house. We're going to be traveling more. I don't know how I'm going to do this. And admittedly, the process was kind of a struggle until I finally just broke and went, you know, funny story from this morning. So it's where that word because could become the most dangerous word in our language. But at the same time, the word because could become every possibility to reach out to that bigger audience. I mean, my startup to scale up story came back to a moment where I used to host a local meetup in the area for people in other wellness professions. And mind you, they were wonderful people, and many of these folks are still my friends. Yet I was realizing it's the same people every single month. And looking at, here was this message that I wanted to share, that a different way of looking at the work in terms of whether it's the actual work I do in my office or from the platform as a hypnotist, but also the way that we look at our businesses, that people get stuck into a certain mindset that this is the one way to do it, or the game they like to label that thing doesn't work, instead of stepping back and going, how do I make that work even better?
How can I? Yeah.
It's not the platform, it's the strategy that we put to it. Wow. And to recognize there's so many opportunities that are out there. And I live by the catchphrase that we can print money, and not that I endorse counterfeiting. that we can look at the segments of what we're doing and realize I can take this to another audience. I can bring this to a much bigger perspective. Or even I can take my service and turn it into a product, because there's people that I just don't have the dollars for hours model to reach all those folks. And again, we can scale up year after year as a result of that.
Beautiful. So really helping people scale their business, get clarity on, you know, what's a way to leverage my assets. That's huge for you. And I love what you said about, you know, it's like the medium, what's the strategy that you're using with the medium? For example, Facebook Live, right? I've been doing this 12-hour marathon for about 2 years now, you know, 2 years in February. And I recognized one of the ways to grow it was to create more engagement. So I introduced the GPS game. So every 15, 30, and 45 minutes of these guest interviews, I have our audience play a part, play a role, because they want to have fun. They want to get rewarded for showing up and playing a part. And I saw that as an innovation that nobody else is doing. Nobody else is like playing these games that's really having people engage and interact, especially at the scale that we're doing with the 12-hour marathon. So 100%, man, I really buy into your philosophy and what you're doing. And Jason, you weren't always this much of a powerhouse.
Yeah. Just to tell you a quick story, something of that nature too. Yeah. That I had a product that I had launched, I think back in either 2012, 2013. Uh-huh. And it was an online digital access course. And I did the standard thing that everyone typically does with that, which is the 30-day, no conditions, you know, money back guarantee. Yep. Yep. And through the wonders of the Big Brother kind of tracking we can do with our products online nowadays, I was able to track that, yes, there was a small segment of the population that would buy the product and around days 28 or 29 would reach out and go, you know, I just haven't had the time to log in and watch this thing yet. Could I get a refund?
Wow.
And because I had the published policy, I had one person who actually was a little upset with me that I just went, okay, no problem. Hit the button and the money was back. Like the scene in Monty Python Life of Brian, the whole bit around, wait, aren't you going to haggle? It's like, hey, ask for the refund. And there it was. So I looked at what was going on. And again, the thanks to being able to track video views of a logged in user, I was able to figure out consistently it wasn't that they didn't like me or they didn't like my content. They weren't using it.
Right.
So the strategy wasn't to get rid of that refund. The strategy was instead what we call in business onboarding. That as soon as someone signed up, yes, I had gone through a series of steps to introduce the product and eventually sell it. But even once they were now inside the product, stepping into the mindset that how do I continue to sell even as you're inside of it? Not to sell other products of mine, but instead, how do I sell you on the user experience that now you're going to put this content to use?
Yeah.
Here's what I want you to do first. Go into the Facebook group, share your biggest business goal, and our community will support you. Watch this video first if this is this your goal. So building that choose your own adventure map from the beginning, the refunds became, I mean, non-existent now. Because instead it was that building that greater value at the beginning of it. It all comes down to that interaction. And how much better is it that people are actually using the stuff they bought? That's always nice.
My gosh. Yeah, that's like your responsibility as a business owner. It's like if people aren't using it, you get to figure out, hey, what do we need to put in place? What are the systems? How do we leverage what we've already created? Maybe take another step. Maybe have them go and share in a community, feel like they belong to something so that they want to continue with the process. Like selling them on the next step and giving it so it's doable, it's easy, it's simple, whatever that is for them. Like helping them take those initial first steps, like start walking, here are your training wheels. That's what will make the difference in the success of you with your clients.
Absolutely. The odd thing that somehow providing better customer service fixed a lot of things. Think about that. Although I will admit, as soon as you said reading books, we actually haven't opened up yet. I'm only 5'4". My computer right now is urged up on a book I haven't read. We'll set it off the side for a little while.
I love it, man. I love it. So Jason, dude, you're a powerhouse. You have tons of wisdom, leveraging assets and systems and really helping people to get across the finish line with your products to help them succeed, help them be fulfilled. And things weren't always this great for you, man. So let's go back into your journey and talk about when you were first starting off as a hypnotist, when you're first starting off, you know, finding out who you are, what you're all about in this world. How did that happen? How did that all unfold? And what was some of the wisdom that you gained along the way?
I'd have to rewind part of it back to being in college, and I was on a different career path at the time. I was working not to be the actor on stage, but to be the stage manager behind the scenes. So in terms of professional theater, calling the show, maintaining the integrity of a production for several months on end, tracking all the incredible scene changes and automation that's now a part of theater, this beautiful moment would be on stage, and that equated to about 4 pages of Microsoft Excel spreadsheet for me. And I burned out beautifully. So the one part of that back, though, I was at college in the welcome week. My first intro to hypnosis was perhaps like many people. It was the guy coming and doing the funny show. and just watching and just something about them going, oh, I've never seen that before. Let me find out more. Just a curiosity. And it became the game of picking up books and finding other courses, going off and taking trainings. And it had actually begun to kind of pick up as its own part-time career that in the theater job, it was kind of seasonal. Sometimes you'd be 9 to 5 working rehearsals. Sometimes you'd be 5 until after midnight working production. And when I was kind of on that track that I had a perceived dream job, that I wanted to be the one in charge of the actual company. And as soon as that offer arrived, I walked away from it. Because I was, again, reaching a place where I was hearing a dialogue around me that just wasn't ringing true with what I was realizing of, you know, well, you know, you work these hours because you're passionate about it, and that's just what you accept your life is. And like any decent infomercial, there's got to be a better way. And at the time, it was that thought of, here was this hypnosis thing I had been doing. I'd been touring the country, doing a motivational program for schools. I was working with individual clients. So there was a really solid incubation phase that was already there. So as soon as the dream job offer came, walking away from it, launching the real shape of the business as it is now, and I'm a firm believer of it's not worth doing unless you go all in.
Yeah.
So the origin story begins with signing a big, scary 3-year lease with the thought of I'm going to make this work. Rather than, you know, find the temporary office that I have on Tuesdays and Thursdays and see how it goes. Well, let's sign the lease. Let's do this for 3 years and see what happens. Now, again, that wasn't the first series of clients I was working with individually. I had been incubating. I had been working. I'd off do you know, a corporate keynote somewhere and do a demonstration. And then here comes the tap on the shoulder of, hey, the boss is afraid of flying. Can you work with him? Wow. Or, hey, my wife wants to quit smoking. And it's where over the years, realizing that when I launched the business, I went to a local meetup event like the one that I eventually ran. Mm-hmm. And this came from a place of genuine concern. These people were not being mean or trying to scare me away. It was absolute sincerity when they were telling me it's going to be slow your first year. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you shouldn't have rapidly changed jobs that quickly. Maybe go part-time. And I was back at the meeting the next month later, and I had a fully packed schedule just because I refused to buy into that premise. I joined a lot of networking events, and here was this group saying, you know, it's going to be slow your first year, so be patient with this, and just hearing that premise and just refusing to buy into it, going, how do I work the system? Again, it's not the platform of networking. It was the strategy that I was bringing to it. What is it that I can do to stand out? Which, don't fall prey to the idea that just because I'm the hypnotist, it's already different, even though I have to play a bit of a confidence-building game with some of my community to tell them, you get to walk into any room and you have the most interesting job of anybody there.
Yes.
Anybody in your audience could say the same thing, because here's the way that they're the graphic designer. Here's the set of skills they bring to the service that they provide. Here's that secret sauce that they have.
You got to own it. You got to own it like you're a one of a kind. Like you're a one of a kind. Like nobody else even compares. You're the best. You're the most unique. You're the most different. So that is like, I love that. And then you also mentioned about networking, the power of like actually going out and sharing about what you're doing and doing it in a way that adds value to people's lives. And we're going to take a quick pause on this conversation. We're going to come back. And right now we're going to do the 15-minute share. Okay. So for everyone who's playing those GPS games, I want you to tag 3 people in the comments on the Facebook Live so that more people can come enjoy Jason, and then also share this out to your profile, and you will get entered into a drawing to win an amazing self-help book today. So I'll put those instructions in the comments as well. Go ahead and tag 3 people and share it to your profile. So Jason, you started going out, you started helping people and networking, and you saw that there was a problem with these people's lives. They were being stuck. They were being limited to their potential, to their greatness. Like, how did you grow your business from that point?
Well, it came from the perspective that it was my responsibility to represent what I was passionate about in a professional way. That was the first part of it. And then the catchphrase was by accident that got me a lot of clients. So to lead with education, to lead with value, rather than walk into a room with the question of what can I sell these people instead, what can I give them? That my whole model from day one has been a very content marketing way of looking at something. This way, the benefit of that becomes, in a slightly persuasive, ethical influence, yet hypnotic way, the whole mindset becomes get the result before you go for the result. That's so much of even the hypnotic process working with a private client. is conversational hypnosis, that by the time they close their eyes, I want them to already know they're a non-smoker. I want that executive to already now be excited about giving the public speaking opportunity rather than holding on to the expectation of fear. So the mindset of get the result before you go for the result was the whole thing of the content marketing, that for those people that it is syncing up with, for those people that are creating that rapport with the brand, with the message I'm putting out there, they are continuing to sell themselves on the value that they're going to receive. And yes, of course, for those people that perhaps, I don't tend to subscribe to a yes or no mindset. It's instead a ready or not yet ready mindset. So for those people that are not yet.
About sell yourself. Like, what does that mean to sell yourself on, you know, the service that you're providing? How did you sell yourself?
Well, let's put this into a different context for a moment. Let's say that I need to go out and buy, you know, a new phone. And what am I going to do now? I'm going to look online at various reviews. I'm going to realize that they have different models. Ooh, there's the big one. There's the small one. Here's the storage size. I'm going to look online and start to do some comparisons. And along the way, what have I already built the presupposition of that I'm going to be buying something of this nature? It's just a matter of which one. So it's that place of, again, recognizing where that need is already there. So the opportunity to get out there and provide a valuable experience, which couple of options of how we can do this. I can go out there and I can teach something. I can educate in some way. Here is a self-hypnosis strategy that you can make use of on your own. And as it often pops up, don't let the word hypnosis scare you, that the more that I track people that are really successful, the more they're already doing this.
Yeah,
they just call it something else at times. They're getting in their own zone. They're getting in their own peak performance state of mind. They've got some series of ritualistic steps. So by the time they're in front of that group of people to speak, they are ready to go. Mm-hmm. And by unpacking those strategies, by tracking and modeling those behaviors, it leaves behind a trail of replicatable techniques. Mm-hmm. So to get out there and say, here's a technique you can use right away. And you can make use of this. This is the whole pivot. You can make use of this and get some outstanding benefit. Though I know some people would find that a little bit more hands-on attention can really resolve the core issue of that.
Yeah.
So without even having to get out there and say, hey, I do this program for this, or maybe it's a business event and I'm there talking about the keynote presentations that I give. So it's not necessarily hitting the bullet points of you're going to receive this, I'm going to teach these strategies. It's instead, start with their needs and find that opportunity, again, through a value-first mindset. This is where the relationships come into it. How can I make sure, this is how I know I'm doing it appropriately, how can I make sure that these people leave better off from our interaction, whether they buy from me or not? Which, by doing it in that way, a lot of those people end up buying. They end up, you know, making use of the service, having me come to their organization and speak, end up in one of my classes. But again, that value-first opportunity of what is it we can do to naturally move through the progression of a relationship. So at the time of making that decision, they've already made that decision. It's done.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who are building a brand online today, and I see them giving so much and being so generous and educating and teaching. Where do you think that they're falling short in being able to convert those people to who are attending, who are in the audience, to an actual client?
The line often becomes between two specific words that we can show and we can tell. So in this style of conversation we've been having, you know, we're very much showing you can do this, you can do this, you can do that, to get into the specifics. And there's places where these definitions will often bend and morph based on the conversation. So I can get up there and from a very appropriate place, talk about the techniques you can put into use. Well, when you change the pictures in your mind, you start to change that physical reality. If you start to envision yourself as that successful person and you're already imagining the positive outcome from your presentation before you even go up there, you know, you're going to find that result. What have I done there? I've told you what to do. Yet what's left out of that? Well, how do I actually do it? So to recognize where, now I write a line between this at times because I've often been out there teaching my best stuff.
Right.
You know, here is the thing that's actually working right now. And it's where to get into the specifics is where understand the difference between your content marketing side and what's going to happen behind the paywall of a product, a service, a class, whatever it would be. That, for example, I do a ton of online training. Yet the pivot from that to the live hands-on experience in a classroom, whether I'm here, whether I'm wherever I'm around the world, is that it's the hands-on experience, getting that specific feedback that you're doing it right. So to be able to define for yourself, what is the strength of this platform, the strength of that platform, and again, what's the weakness of this, the weakness of that. And sometimes it just comes down to crafting that little bit of a pivot, which we can model excellence. Of all people, the moment when I'm teaching something and then it becomes in the business model pivoting to an offer, I've got Steve Jobs forever locked into my brain. Because the moment of him just getting excited and going, but one more thing. Where he picked up the laptop and Apple didn't invent the wireless internet, but they got to be one of the people to premiere it.
Yeah.
You know, here's the new features on the phone. It's faster processor, bigger storage, but one more thing. And all of a sudden it's the Jetsons because we've got video talk on the phone. And that was the moment where the audience just went, I got to have this.
Wow.
So to recognize that place where you can do it on your own in this way, however, many people find value, there's a bit of linguistics inside of that, many people find value in getting a little bit more hands-on personal attention or having this presentation customized to your next annual event.
Yeah.
And now they're going inside and connecting those dots for them. So provide that amazing value, yet also very clearly state what's the benefit of advancing that relationship. I think it's that too many people are afraid to make the offer, which the formula of that is, as I would say, it earn the right to make the offer first. Make them care before you ever ask them to listen for your sales pitch. Which when you do it that way, there's a beautiful moment that's often occurred when, in the shape of my business, I've done a very value-driven webinar. I've been there presenting something. Here's the specific three steps to do to take your coaching service and now turn it into a group format. And you can make use of this. However, this is just one segment of your business. What about your pricing structure? What about your location? What about the online marketing side of things? And for that, here's my entire system.
Wow.
Which for those people who only needed that one segment on the group format, fantastic. Which
makes all the difference. Yeah.
And for those other people, yes, there's a bit of influence there because it's the reciprocity function. Yet again, they're now seeing there's a natural progression. It was, I'll give credit where it's due on this one. Ryan Dice from the digital marketer team, I heard him one time say, do not think of it as an upsell. If you think of it as an upgrade, the process writes itself.
Wow. Wow. I love that. And upgrade is like if you're in just, you know, regular class flying and you get the upgrade to first class, of course, it's going to be like, you know, four times as much, five times as much. And like, what are the benefits of that? Well, the spaciousness, the, you know, the luxury, so to speak, of the flight, the how you get treated and different things like that. So that's like a total upgrade. And people want that. There's people in, you know, coach and, you know, economy class are like, man, I wish I could be in first class. I hate this seat. But like, you know, you just get to market that to them in a way that makes them want to buy and knowing, hey, they want more space. They want to get treated better. They want, you know, a better, more luxurious experience on the flight.
And here's the easiest way to think about it. It all comes down to the metaphor of relationships. That if we rewind part of my story back about 15 years and a few months ago, there was this girl at my college that I was interested in. And I didn't walk up to her and say, you and I are going to get married and have children. Now that we've been together 10 years and been together 15 years and married for more than 10 of those and wow. Understanding her sense of humor, it might have actually worked. Yet, it could have also, does this mace not smell like pepper? Yeah, also it could have not gone well. Yet instead, look at the natural shape of the relationship, where there's, which there's an aspect of this I only remembered a couple of months ago, that I used to tell the story that, no, there's a natural progression of the relationship. I eventually had to ask her out. It turns out that was not the first part of the story because I was chicken. And instead, we had worked together on a student project and admittedly, we didn't get along. And even in spite of that, we started hanging out together when the project was over. And I tested the market first. I asked her if it would be okay if one day I asked her out. How's that for being smooth? So
that's
I asked
good.
Her that, yes to that. Took me 2 weeks or so to work up the courage to ask her out. Our first date was November 8th, 2003. We got married November 8th, 2008. We just celebrated our 10th anniversary a couple of months ago. Thank you. So to look at that, though, about what was the arc of that relationship? I asked permission before I asked. Then I asked. Then we started hanging out more frequently. Then eventually came the moment that I took a job in another state, and then she took a job there as well. We moved in together. Then we did the natural progression of we got the cat. Then we moved, then I proposed. Then we moved again. We got the dog. Then came our daughter. Then we moved. Then came our son. And here's the whole progression. So if you ever find yourself stuck in the state of asking, why is my audience not buying from me? You know, clearly they're still courting me. Clearly they're still getting along with me. Ask, where are we in this relationship? What other experiences can I share with them to metaphorically say, hey, let's go to the theme park this weekend. Let's go have coffee. Let's go hang out with a circle of friends. Wow. You know, the same way that we can go, let me do another piece of value that I can provide. Let me take this one experience, the thing in business of a tripwire. Let me take one segment of what I do and sell that so people can now get amazing value and go, well, I got this for $27. I bet if I go into the full system, I bet if we have him come speak to our organization, it'll have an even greater benefit. So again, look at that relationship. Ask yourself, where am I in this dialogue? And that's where it naturally progresses.
That's so powerful, because so many people are asking for marriage. You know, like, this is a perfect example. They're asking for marriage for, you know, a high ticket sale, thousands and thousands of dollars, and they haven't yet built that relationship of trust, of rapport. And I know rapport is a big thing that you talk about and that you teach people. Can you dive into that just a little bit right now?
Yeah, absolutely. And this becomes the moment that unfortunately starts to sound like the Troy McClure character from The Simpsons. Hi, I'm Troy McClure. You may remember me from, the TEDx talk I did on rethinking rapport, which is that there's classic themes of rapport, which, let's put that into my specific context first, that let's say it's the environment where I'm working with an executive client for letting go of some sort of fear, whether it's public speaking, fear of failure, or even especially fear of success at times. We have to have rapport, first of all, with the conscious mind to be able to actually discuss the issue. And yet the feature of the unconscious mind, the bottom of the iceberg over there, is that it wants to keep doing what's natural. It wants to keep doing what's easy. So even though it may not be beneficial for that person to hold on to that problem, there's something very safe about it.
Yeah.
So the first part of that change process has to begin with building rapport with that unconscious processing. Okay, look, it's giving you something. And we're only going to let that thing go until we find better ways to satisfy whatever it's been giving you up until now. Sound good? And now we're building that case for the change. Now we're building that ability to go in and let their own resources become the catalyst to produce this amazing result. The sort of update on the rapport model is that, you know, many people in this audience may be familiar with some of the stuff that's been put out in recent years of, you know, move when they move, use some of their words and sort of model their characteristics. Don't mimic the person. Don't do it from a false place. The origin of all this rapport study was not that someone sat down and went, how do we do this on purpose? It was instead, let's track people who already naturally have that rapport with each other. What are they naturally doing? And what if we now replicate those natural tendencies of what we refer to as mirroring and matching and just getting in sync with somebody? That this has kind of been bastardized by some of the sales community in recent years of, if I move like you, you're going to like me and buy my stuff. Man, that doesn't work. It's instead, the real origin of it was it years ago, there's some sales trainers who have amazing stories about, I was trying to buy a Lamborghini and they wouldn't sell me the car. My version of that was a used 2011 Honda Odyssey minivan. Oh, cool. The local lot has three of them. And it's the exact model that we want. Wow. We're going to buy a car today. And they're trying to sell the car. Just this, we already have the Capital One check. We're ready to go. Just get the Wi-Fi code and just tell me when the paperwork's ready to sign. I'm going to work over here in a moment. So, again, at that rapport, we've been told by some sources, just do it and that's going to create the sale. When, no, look at the arc of any communication. And to oversimplify this in a very practical way, we're either moving towards a positive outcome or we're moving away from a problem. We're either moving towards pleasure or we're moving away from pain. And I'm sure, you know, even in the work that you do, there's moments where you ask somebody some sort of outcome-based question. And they pause, their eyes start to dart around as if they're looking inside of their brain for the answer, and then they revert back to the old story. Yeah. You know, so how would you like that experience to be different now? And they go, well, you know, last year, this is what happened. And it's for to recognize that we can use our abilities to naturally build and enhance rapport to move in that mutually beneficial way. So rather than just do it for the sake of doing it, instead, observe that conversation, be in the content of the dialogue, but observe the context of what's going on. And use these mirroring and matching tools when you're there actually moving towards that positive outcome. And when we're back in that problem state, yes, listen, be sympathetic, be empathetic as appropriate, but at the same time, that may be where I'm not feeding back that energy of that rapport. So it's this place of moving towards the positive outcome together. Again, kind of one of the first things we talked about here, get the result before you go for the result. Move in the direction that you want, bring them along for the ride.
Yeah, it's almost like train them to believe that the possibility is already happening now, and they just like have to get out of their own way. It's like, okay, well, you know, it's already happening. So what are the steps? Like, let's just take the steps since it's already happening. So I love this, man. Super great coverage of rapport. And for everyone who's watching on the Facebook Live, we're moving into our 30-minute game, and that's Fast GPS. So first person to comment after this gets entered into a drawing to win an amazing self-help book. First person to comment wins. It gets into the drawing. Okay. Good to go. Go ahead and comment. Now, Jason, let's get back, man. And I want to talk a little bit more about the difference of you from, let's say, other business coaches. You have this, you know, hypnosis that is such a powerful aspect of your helping people. You also focus on working smart. Tell us a little bit more about why you think you're different or unique from other just coaches.
Well, the entry point into all of it was that realization several years ago that, from a very sort of power of premise mindset, I refused to buy into the premise that the business was going to be slow and recognize that I'm in a profession where sometimes I have to begin that dialogue by explaining to people that I'm not going to hypnotize them to cluck like a chicken, which I travel the world. I speak at most of the major hypnosis conventions. I gave the keynote at most of the Northern American ones last year. Got an award of Hypnotist of the Year, yay. And here's that experience. Yeah, and here's that experience of, and I only give that resume, basically how I outline that I'm in contact with like 10,000 of my community around the world. Wow. And I've never met someone who's actually done the whole cluck like a chicken thing. So even the misconception that we do that is a misconception. Mm-hmm. Yet that is a barrier that I had to overcome. Now, the way that I looked at it differently was that there were people who were already looking for hypnosis. Mm-hmm. And it's where I have people who sometimes say, well, I don't know if I believe in that, mm-hmm. which pop on Google Scholar, scholar.google.com, just type in the word hypnosis, 280,000 studies pop up. Demonstrating its efficacy. We can point to research in the brain and say, here's based on our current understanding what's going on. So we're beyond belief at this point. Yet that wasn't quite the story 11, 12 years ago when I first started this, because it was instead that premise that I refused to buy into the idea that I had to inoculate fears. So instead, I built the custom client avatar in my mind that here was the person at that point in my journey who was already looking for that service. And now their job is to figure out which is the best one that I can go to. And when they did the research, they found me. So I give that as part of the background to say that here are some of the natural barriers. And there's always going to be in any profession, here are the common objections. Here are the common concerns. Here are the reasons why someone may look somewhere else. And it's where recognize that I can sit here and I can talk through the process of hypnosis. I've trained and certified hundreds of people around the world to go off and launch their own businesses to theoretically become my competition, which really isn't the case because we're all in this community together. Right. Yet it's from that perspective, recognizing that we can do hypnosis from a formal perspective, but we can let our actions become hypnotic. So, which is a bit of a powerful phrase to put out there, but what it comes down to, when I say work smart, it means to work with intention, with purpose, with focus. So to look at my own personal story, signing the big scary 3-year lease and going, I'm going to make this work. I love the quote from Lorne Michaels, the creator and producer of Saturday Night Live, of whether we're ready or not, the show goes live at 11:30. Wow. So finding that place of tenacity in our minds, that place where we're just eradicating all the belief systems of it's not going to work, this is going to be a challenge, because that challenge is just another opportunity to move things forward. And it's where I had a bit of an evolution in my process a couple of years ago. The origin story of this was that I crafted a bit of a phone tree, a bit of a sort of consultative phone model that people could call me, they could talk through my service, and if they had this concern, I now talked about this. If they talked about that concern, I now talked about that.
Right.
And I crafted this in such a way that at the time, I didn't have to use any closing strategies or linguistic methods to convince the sale. I had presented all the necessary information, so now they were qualified to make that decision. And that was working. And I published that in my community as what I call the 500K phone process. And at that point in my journey, it had generated more than $500,000 of individual client income.
That's awesome.
That was in 2013. It's now more than a million. So to look at that, though, I bring that up because it's where in recent years realizing we have an ethical responsibility to share what we do. So provided your service is effective, provided that your product will work and will genuinely help people, it is now within your ethical responsibility to use whatever appropriate techniques are there to help someone to make that decision. And so often we find ourselves, I mean, for any entrepreneur in those startup years, they're playing the game going, is it the right time? Is it the right time? And instead, step into that hypnotic mindset that I'm going to make this the right time. Here's the conflict that pops up. What am I going to do with this? Here's this challenge that I'm now facing, and here's how I'm going to spin it off to something even bigger.
Question, real quick. What do you mean about the hypnotic mindset of I'm going to make it the right time? I think we've kind of touched on it a little bit, but specifically, what does that mean about like being the creator of if I say this goes, it goes kind of thing?
Yeah, so let's look at it this way, that we often hear the phrase that it takes 21 days to change your behavior, to which I would say those people might not be using the best of methods. If you think about major life changes, if you think about major life shifts, we create a massive change in a matter of seconds. Let's imagine here's a relationship where suddenly you discover some new extracurricular hobbies of your partner, to say it politely. That thing is over. So here's a place where someone shifts their political belief system, maybe changes a religion. These are major life changes that happen quickly. And to be there in the business kind of like, you know, the child is, I've got a five-year-old and a seven-year-old, and here's the day where the water's kind of cold in the pool, and they're going, I don't want to get in, I don't want to get in, versus the I'm just going to jump in and figure it out as I go. So this place of just going into that mindset of going, how am I going to make this work? Rather than being stuck in the mindset about what about this, what about that, you know, the old phrase that many people use is that we're all shooting all over ourselves. Instead, what am I going to make this up? What am I going to use this for? Where, again, part of my origin story, the negative advice becoming that catalyst to go, let me make this work myself. So it's that place of the athlete is going out there and they already know they're the greatest in that sport. You know, they know they're going to put forth all their effort appropriate to make that happen. The public speaker in their optimal state of mind is going out there and not holding on to the, what if they don't like me? What if they don't like my messages?
From the bottom of my heart, thank you for tuning in. Right now, we've reached the end of this episode, but this is the start of a whole new beginning. Each and every moment, you have an opportunity to rewrite your story. Right here, right now, decide and commit who you are going to be. Think about how you will use these ideas, wisdom, and inspiration to make the difference in your life. What actions will you take today and every day to step into your greatest possible self? Again, a big shout out to our sponsor, EmployeeEscapePlan.com. If you're committed to learning how to truly harness your abilities and passions to serve the people who are hungry and desperate for what you have to offer, make a great income off of your genius, or if you're ready to get more clients to pay you more money, head over to www.EmployeeEscapePlan.com and let Joe know you were sent by Chris. Did you enjoy this episode? Let your friends know about it. Share the website, beyourgps.com, and send me some love on social media. If you want to clarify your vision, uncover blind spots, get more energy, tap into your flow, and take massive action, head over to beyourgps.com/coaching to schedule some time into my calendar. Now,
Master yourself, create your reality, and make every day your best day ever.